English heard. English hurts.
So, thank you guys for listening. Remember, stay positive, no pun intended. We'll catch you.
This is Chris France of Tom Tom Club, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
Come listen to Catskill Cabin Getaway on WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
That's the third Thursday each month.
Or you can listen to our podcasts. Just go to WGXC/something.
It's Catskill Cabin Getaway, I guess. I don't know. Check it out.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz and Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years, specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026 or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC, hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Yeah. Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson. And I'm usually joined by some of my young friends, Georgia, Jada, Jay, Fatia, Mashuda, Amelia. And every week we get together and we talk about books, books that we love, books that we hate, and other bookish things. And this week, no one was available to do the show with me. So it's just me and you, radio listeners, today. And since November is American Indian and Native Alaskan Heritage Month, I thought we could celebrate that by talking about some books for young readers that are written by Native writers and about Native youth. And so I'm going to talk about some that I've read and some that I want to read. And I'm going to read the descriptions. I'll talk about some middle grade titles and then some books meant for teens. So first up, we have a series opener, Jojo McCoon's The Used to Be Best Friend by Don Quigley, with illustrations by Tara Audibert. And this is an early chapter book series that is probably for elementary age students, like ages 6 to 10 maybe. I still loved it as an adult, so, you know, who knows. But it's very sweet. I think fans of Ramona Quimby series, Junie B. Jones, Clementine, you know, spunky female leads will love this. So here's the description. Hello, Buzhu. Meet Jojo McCoon's, a spunky young Ojibwe girl who loves who she is. Jojo McCoon's Azur is a spirited seven-year-old who moves through the world a little differently than anyone else on her Ojibwe reservation. It always seems like her mom, her kokum, grandma, and her teacher have a lot to learn about how good Jojo is at cleaning up, what makes a good rhyme, and what it means to be friendly. Even though Jojo loves her number one best friend, Mimi, who is a cat, she's worried that she needs to figure out how to make more friends, because Fern, her best friend at school, may not want to be friends anymore. So this is a really fun, funny, like laugh out loud funny, but also, you know, has storylines that have meaning and like can touch you in a way or bring you back. Or I guess if you're at that age, maybe not bring you back, just that you could relate to. But it's a great series. Highly suggest it. The second book is not out yet, but will be coming out in May of 2022. But I think one of the nice things about this story is once you hit middle grade and young adult, a lot of the books that you'll find about American Indian youth are very serious and touch on sort of the hardships of both history and present, and in some cases into looking into the future of American Indian communities and individuals. And this one was just a very light, fun read, so I really appreciated that, although I also appreciate the serious topics as well, as I will share some of those in a moment. But yeah, this was a great series, very cute illustrations. I think it'll be really popular with young readers. So that's Jojo McCoon's The Used to Be Best Friend by Don Quigley. Next up, I have another book that's the first in a series. This one is a trilogy by Tim Tingle. And this series is more for middle school readers, probably grades 4 to 7, 4 to 8. And this book is historic fiction. The first book in the series is called How I Became a Ghost, and I will read the description for this. Told in the words of Isaac, a Choctaw boy who does not survive the Trail of Tears, How I Became a Ghost is a tale of innocence and resilience in the face of tragedy. From the book's opening line, maybe you have never read a book written by a ghost before, the reader is put on notice that this is no normal book. Isaac leads a remarkable foursome of Choctaw comrades, a tough-minded teenage girl, a shape-shifting panther boy, a lovable 5-year-old ghost who only wants her mom and dad to be happy, and Isaac's talking dog, Jumper. The first in a trilogy, How I Became a Ghost, thinly disguises an important and oft overlooked piece of history. And this is just a really great story, great characters. I think the sort of fantastical element of it or spiritual element of it makes it perhaps more inviting or exciting of a historical read than some books are for young people. And so I think a lot of readers would find something to love in this book. I have not read the rest of the trilogy. Every year I say I'm going to read it and then I don't get around to it. So maybe this will be the year, but I'm not promising anything because I have failed to finish the series. But it's not for not loving the first book because I love this book. So that's How I Became a Ghost by Tim Tingle. And next up for middle grade readers again, I want to highlight a newer title that came out earlier this year. That is a collection of stories called Ancestor Approved Intertribal Stories for Kids, and it was edited by Cynthia Leitich-Smith. And here is the description. A collection of intersecting stories set at a powwow that bursts with hope, joy, resilience, the strength of community, and Native pride. In a high school gym full of color and song, Native families from nations within the borders of the U.S. and Canada dance, sell beadwork and books, and celebrate friendship and heritage. They are the heroes of their own stories. Featured contributors include Joseph Bruchak, Art Colson, Christine Day, Eric Gansworth, Don Quigley, Carol Lindstrom, Rebecca Roanhorse, David A. Robertson, Andrea L. Rogers, Kim Rogers, Cynthia Leitich-Smith, Monique Gray Smith, Tracy Sorrell, Tim Tingle, Erica T. Worth, and Brian Young. So you may notice a few familiar names in there, Don Quigley and Tim Tingle, whose books I just mentioned. So they each have stories in here, but this just sounds like a really great collection of stories. I like how it all centers around a powwow, but that each character has their own story, so you get to know all of these different people that make up a community at an event. So I'm really looking forward to this. I love several of these authors and have read their work, and I'm going to listen to the audiobook for this one. So I'm looking forward to that. So that is Ancestor Approved, Intertribal Stories for Kids, edited by Cynthia Leitich-Smith. So moving into the YA section, Books for Teens, this is another collection of not just stories, but of essays and poems and artwork and photography. And it's called Hashtag Not Your Princess, Voices of Native American Women. It's edited by Lisa Charlie Boy and Mary Beth Leatherdale. And here's the description. Whether looking back to a troubled past or welcoming a hopeful future, the powerful voices of Indigenous women across North America resound in this book. In the same style as the best-selling Dreaming in Indian, which is also a great book, Hashtag Not Your Princess presents an eclectic collection of poems, essays, interviews, and art that combine to express the experience of being a Native woman. Stories of abuse, humiliation, and stereotyping are countered by the voices of passionate women making themselves heard and demanding change. Sometimes angry, often reflective, but always strong, the women in this book will give teen readers insight into the lives of women who, for so long, have been virtually invisible. I love the format of this book because it gives you lots of different perspectives, both different topics, different backgrounds, different communities, different experiences, but also expressed in different ways. So some people express themselves through poetry or song, through art, through writing. So it's a really interesting way of getting a lot of different perspectives in one book. And I think it's very eye-catching and will appeal to a lot of teen readers. So I highly suggest checking that one out and also Dreaming in Indian. But this one was Hashtag Not Your Princess, Voices of Native American Women, edited by Lisa Charlie Boy and Mary Beth Leatherdale. And next up we have The Marrow Thieves, Book 1, by Cherie Dimeline. And this is a dystopian book for teens. And here's the description. In a futuristic world ravaged by global warming, people have lost the ability to dream, and the dreamlessness has led to widespread madness. The only people still able to dream are North America's indigenous people, and it is their marrow that holds the cure for the rest of the world. But getting the marrow and dreams means death for the unwilling donors. Driven to flight, a 15-year-old and his companions struggle for survival attempt to reunite with loved ones and take refuge from the recruiters, who seek them out to bring them to the marrow-stealing factories. So this one's a very different book from the others that I've talked about today, in that it's a future, sort of horrifying future vision, but it's made extra horrifying by the fact that it's connected to the history of how Indigenous people were treated in this country. So tying back to residential schools and other mistreatment of Indigenous people throughout our history of colonization. I thought this was a really great book. I'm perhaps less into dystopian fiction these days than I once was. So I'm not sure if I'm going to read more of the series, but I am interested in reading more from Cherie Dimeline. She also writes books for adults as well. I can't remember if she has any books for kids out yet, for younger kids, but this was The Marrow Thieves by Cherie Dimeline, and the second book in the series is out. Actually, just came out last month in October, and it is called Hunting by Stars. And the last book I wanted to feature today is a book that I'm looking forward to reading very soon. It's called Eletsoe by Darcy Little Badger, who actually has a more recent book out, coming out this month, that I'm also interested in reading, but I decided to start with Eletsoe, which was her debut novel, and came highly suggested. And so here is the description for this book. Imagine an America very similar to our own. It's got homework, best friends, and pistachio ice cream. There are some differences. This America has been shaped dramatically by the magic, monsters, knowledge, and legends of its peoples, those Indigenous and those not. Some of these forces are charmingly everyday, like the ability to make an orb of light appear or travel across the world through rings of fungi, but other forces are less charming and should never see the light of day. Eletsoe lives in this slightly stranger America. She can raise the ghosts of dead animals, a skill passed down through generations of her Lipan Apache family. Her beloved cousin has just been murdered in a town that wants no prying eyes, but she is going to do more than pry. The picture-perfect facade of Willoughby masks gruesome secrets, and she will rely on her wits, skills, and friends to tear off the mask and protect her family. So I love the, again, sort of fantastical element to this book. I like how it's a world similar to ours, but with slight differences. And I love a good mystery. And it's also a beautiful book. I have this in a physical copy. Our radio listeners might know I listen to a lot of audiobooks, but this one I bought the physical copy, and it has beautiful cover art. And then it has illustrations throughout. It's not I wouldn't say it's an illustrated book, but it has, like, at the start of each chapter, there's an illustration, and they're very beautiful. And the illustrations are by Ravina Kai. So that's Eletsoe by Darcy Little Badger. And the newer book by Darcy Little Badger, which will be coming out this month, is called A Snake Falls to Earth. And it was long listed for the National Book Award. So definitely an author to keep our eyes on. And before we wrap it up for today, I wanted to share one other project, which is not meant for young readers, but I'm sure there's work within it that is accessible for young readers. But our U.S. Poet Laureate, Joy Harjo, who is an acclaimed poet and a member of the Muskogee Nation, for her project as the Poet Laureate, she created this project called Living Nations, Living Words, which you can find online. And I will read the description that she has for it, but I also encourage you to check it out yourself. Here's the description. As the first Native U.S. Poet Laureate, I decided that my signature project should introduce the country to the many Native poets who live in these lands. Our communities innately shared and share poetry from before the founding of the United States to the present. We understand poetry to be a living language, whether it is in our tribal languages or in English, or another language. We use poetry to mark transformations, as in love letters, elegies, or epithalamium. Poetry can be useful for praise and even to help deter a storm. Or poetry is a tool to uncover the miraculous in the ordinary. We are intimately involved in our communities, which may be on our reservations or in the cities, and often both. We are like everyone else. Some of us stay rooted. Others travel and even live internationally. This holds true for our individual approaches to the art of poetry. The Living Nations, Living Words project features a sampling of work by 47 Native Nations poets through an interactive ArcGIS story map and a newly developed Library of Congress audio collection. Keep in mind that each of the featured poets has many poetry ancestors, as well as young poets who have or will follow in their footsteps. There are connections between all of the poets in Living Nations, Living Words, and connecting influences between these poets and many, many other Native poets who do not appear here, and many, many American and world poets from the present and generations before. As you explore, you too will be connected. And so it's a very interesting collection. There is a companion anthology that you can read if you prefer to read the written word. But there's also this interactive map where you can look at a map and click on where you would like to read a poem from. So you can go up to Alaska, Imphi Kari Ayagaduk Ojanen from King Island, Alaska, or even farther up north, you've got Kathy Tagnak Rexford. You can go to Comanche County, Oklahoma, and read poems by Sai Hoawa, or you can go over to Mojave Valley, Arizona, and read poems by Natalie Diaz. Up in St. Regis Mohawk Indian Nation, New York, we have Alex Jacobs. And so you learn a little bit about the poet, and you can listen to them read the poem, as well as some commentary on the poem, and you can read the poem. So it's just a really interesting way to explore our country and get introduced to some Native poets that maybe you haven't read before. And so the best way to get to that is if you look up Joy Harjo or Living Nations, Living Words, Library of Congress, and you can get to the site that way. And explore. It's a great site. And on that note, we're going to wrap it up for today. But I hope everyone out there listening has a great week with lots of quality reading time. Be back next week to talk about some more books with my youth co-hosts. Until then, happy reading.